Hello, everybody, with Bob Christopher, Richard Piper, and Andrew Farley. I'm Bob Davis, and this is Basic Gospel. We're here live to answer your questions or discuss your real-life issue, and we invite your calls right now, 1-800-677-9377. So if there's something you'd like to talk about, call. Again, right now, 1-800-677-9377. The lines are wide open. Because the Word of God reveals true life and freedom in Jesus Christ, this is your invitation to listen and take part. You'll see how the Basic Gospel intersects with your life every day. Hear it, believe it, live it. It's Basic Gospel. Now, here's Bob Christopher.
Well, thanks, Bob. We're coming to the end of the month of February and the end of our treatment of this wonderful subject called the New Covenant. And I wanted to take a little turn today where we've been talking about it in terms of the fact that we are beneficiaries of this new covenant. And we've taken a really in-depth look at all the things that God has provided for us in the person and work of Jesus Christ. And it's quite stunning, all that we've been given. As Paul wrote in Ephesians, we've been blessed with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places. As Peter wrote, we've been given everything we need for life and godliness. So we've been receiving and just opening up our arms to receive all of this grace, all of this love, all of this forgiveness, all of this life in Jesus Christ. But that's not where it ends. We're not just to be a reservoir of all of this wonderful stuff. We're to be a river where it flows into us, God being the source, and then flows out of us into the lives of others. And that's what I want to talk about a little bit today. In 2 Corinthians chapter 3, our signature verse, we read this at the beginning. We're coming back to it here at the end. Verse 6 says this in 2 Corinthians 3, He has made us competent as ministers of a new covenant, not of the letter, but of the Spirit, for the letter kills, but the Spirit gives life. So hopefully if you've been listening to us this month, you will know that this is an important verse, one that you need to star, underline, to memorize, to digest, to make it a part of your lives. But here Paul is saying that not only are we recipients of the new covenant, but we have this wonderful opportunity to be ministers of this new covenant into the lives of others. And so, guys, let's talk about what that means. What does it mean to be a minister of the new covenant? First, what are we ministering into the lives of others? And what can we expect to see as people respond to it? So let's toss that out there and talk about that a little bit.
Yeah, you know, Bob, you remind me of these verses that where Jesus is saying, you know, if you eat from me, if you drink from me, you'll never hunger, you'll never thirst again. And so, you know, a lot of people are saying we need to be hungry, we need to be hungry for more, thirst for more, and almost making a career out of telling us that we need more. And really, the new covenant is saying you have everything you need. So we start to bask in this. We, you know, it's hard for us to be receivers, but we're called to be receivers. And that's how we then transmit, by receiving. So I've noticed in this new covenant over the last month, as Basic Gospel, as we've all been looking at it, you know, it's like God has everything rigged here. I mean, he's got it rigged so that we can take our eyes off of ourselves and put it on other people. You look at the forgiveness. Why would I need my eyes on my sins when he's taken them away? You look at our acceptance. Why would I need my eyes on whether I'm okay or not if he has fully accepted me and freed me from the law? Why would I need my eyes on myself if he's given me a new self, a new creation, and he's made me close so I don't have to wonder if there's some obstacle between me and God? So God's rigged it. I get my eyes off of myself. And then I've got eyes for other people in terms of ministry. I can look out beyond the little circle I've drawn around me, and I can start to share this truth that sets people free. And I think that's the number one mark of the new covenant, is there's truth in it. And where the Spirit of God is really moving, he says there will be liberty.
Absolutely. So we have the privilege of ministering that to others. Richard, how has this verse really impacted you? As you talk to a lot of people individually on the phone, you answer a lot of emails, you're writing in different publications out there. What is it like to be a minister of the new covenant?
It first of all gives you a chance to let people off the hook, to let them rest. I mean, Jesus was serious. Come to me and rest. It gives you a chance, like Andrew was just saying, to offer them forgiveness and eternal life and all of these things, not from the perspective that most people are just trying harder and harder and harder and getting more and more and more tired, but from this perspective of it's already done if you'll just accept the gift. And being able to do that, honestly, I know you guys get this too, when people write back and say, I never knew. Thank you so much. I didn't know Jesus loved me that much. I didn't know I was forgiven. I just didn't know, or I didn't believe it. I had heard it, but I couldn't believe it was true about me. There's nothing better than that.
Yeah. So if you're listening today, you know, God is equipping you to be a minister of this new covenant. As you receive all of the blessings, open up your heart, open up your mind to experience all that God has for you in Jesus Christ, what you're going to find happening is this desire to share it, this desire to pass it on to others. And as you do, you're living out this role as a minister of the new covenant. And boy, what rewards you will experience, not financial, not any of physical rewards, but just the sheer joy of knowing that you're participating in God's work of connecting people to the love of Jesus Christ. And what a privilege that is. So if you are new to this broadcast, we want you to receive in all of this grace, to open up your heart and mind and receive all that God has for you in Jesus. But if you've been tuned in for a long time and you've been receiving that, we want to encourage you to step out and begin to share this life, this liberty, this freedom, this forgiveness, this hope with others, because that's what people are looking for, and you have a chance to really anchor them to the love of Christ in ways that will blow them away and will change their lives forever.
Yeah. And friends, if you need further clarification on this subject, if you'd like to add something to the conversation, if you have another question, a particular Bible question, you just can't quite understand it, there's some issue at home, at school, at the office, wherever it happens to be, well, we'd love to hear from you on this edition of Basic Gospel with Bob Christopher, Richard Piper, Andrew Farley. My name is Bob Davis, and we welcome you at 1-800-677-9377, toll-free in the U.S. and in Canada, 1-800-677-9377. Well, guys, a question from James concerning what kind of spirits a Christian can have. It's an interesting question, I think. He says, I've been a Christian for 28 years and have been very happy. I've never been very happy about it. I never stopped praying, but most of my prayers were said with a bit of anger. James says that he remembers meeting some of us at a Bible study in the mid-80s and became a fan of the broadcast. He says, I can remember how critical I was even then. I couldn't even generate a smile. 5 or 6 weeks ago, he says, I was praying and I was at the end of everything. I was desperate to find out why I was so angry. Things had gotten so bad I couldn't even fake a smile. As I was praying, a thought came to me that I had a critical spirit. I gave credit to the Holy Spirit for putting this thought in my heart and encouraging me to pray about it. James goes on to say, I bought some books and learned a lot and was able to ask God to cleanse me of this critical spirit. Later I learned about a discerning spirit, and I now pray about that and about being led to believe that I never had a critical spirit at all. I know as I pray to God to be free from such a critical spirit, my whole life has changed. So, to James's question, can a Christian have a critical spirit?
Well, Bob, you know, I think that's a fabulous question that James is asking. You know, my take on that is that a Christian can only have one spirit, and that means the Holy Spirit. Of course, we have our human spirit, which is like a cup or a container, and we house God's spirit. But now, if I'm going to get discernment, you know, the Bible tells me that Christ is my wisdom. Christ is my discernment. So the mind of Christ is a discerning mind. So I'm not going to go out and get a discerning spirit outside of Christ. Christ is my discernment. And similarly, you know, do I have a critical spirit? Well, you know, I struggle with the flesh. I mean, the flesh is a whole hodgepodge of attitudes where I'm trying to maybe get my needs met outside of Christ. And that's old thinking. I mean, you know, I like to say it's out of date software. It's out of date software, even though I've got this new spiritual hardware. So I'm like a mobile device. I'm like a mobile phone running around planet Earth. And, you know, it's a shiny new phone, but I still might need some software updates. And so, you know, when those updates come in, I can accept them or reject them. So I think James is really talking about his spiritual growth. And, I mean, he hit a crossroads. There he was with years of bitterness as his struggle. And God revealed something to him, and he was able to turn the corner, depend on Christ for that patience and that forgiveness, so that the resentment was blown to pieces and left behind. And in shattering that bitterness, he then saw the importance of discernment and relied on Christ for that. But let's not get in the business of thinking that Christians are going to get one spirit and then another spirit and then another spirit. That is an endless pursuit, and I think it can really be deceiving to folks.
Yeah, why don't we just say, if instead of calling it a critical spirit, just say I complain all the time. I gripe and grumble and all of that, and the reason we do is because we're not happy. We're not content, and the reason we're not content is because we've never found our true contentment in Christ. Gets back exactly to what you were saying earlier, Andrew, about the fact that in coming to Jesus, all of our hungers are satisfied, all of our thirsts are quenched in Him, and we need to realize that. We need to find to come to that place and realize that Jesus is everything to us. And when we realize that, then we have a different outlook on life in general. We don't have to complain. We don't have to gripe. We don't have to all the things that we do. We can actually look at life through the lens of God's love and grace and see it in a completely from a completely different perspective.
Yeah. Well, we hope that has been a help to you, James. Hope you're listening. And for any of our listeners, guys, that would like to pose a question by email, you can do that by going to our website, basicgospel.net. We encourage you to do that. We'd love to address your question on a later edition of the broadcast. Right now, open lines, 1-800-677-9377. It's a toll-free call all across the country, 1-800-677-9377.
Well, we'll go to Queens, New York, and talk with Gil, listening to us on WMCA. Hi, Gil.
Hi. Happy Sheep Day, guys.
And to you as well.
Amen. I say that because you guys are sheep, and we're all sheep who trust in the Lord's grace alone. I want to ask a question about Hebrews, and before that, Romans chapter 12, verse 10, it says, "Be devoted to one another in brotherly love, honor one another above yourselves." And I think it's Romans 15:7 says, "Accept one another just as Christ accepted you in order to bring praise to God." And comparing that with Hebrews 10:25, it says, "Let us not give up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but let us encourage one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching." How would that apply to the new covenant as new believers in the beautiful grace of God?
Well, that's a good question, Gil. And, you know, love, as we were talking about at the get-go of today's broadcast, love is outward-looking. And the new covenant allows us to rest in all that Jesus has accomplished for us. So we have our needs met. We're satisfied. We're content. And in that state of contentment, in that state of rest, we have the freedom to start thinking about others and to encourage them in their walk of faith, to be available to them, to help and to serve them. And I think Romans 12:10 is in line with that. And it's interesting that it's in Romans 12. It follows 11 chapters of Paul explaining the mercy of God, the grace of God, the righteousness of God that's found through faith in Jesus Christ. It comes after 11 chapters of explaining, and it's a part of the therefore. Because you have peace with God, because you've been saved by His resurrected life, because you have been made righteous in the sight of God, therefore, be devoted to one another. You're involved with each other. You're connected through the Spirit. You belong to the body. And as a result, be devoted to one another, honoring one another above yourselves. Because yes, that's where the real reward of love and being a minister of the new covenant, being a minister of reconciliation, comes into play. So I think this is just an outgrowth of who we are in Christ Jesus.
Yes. In light of that, with Hebrews 10:25 and Romans 12:16, it says, live in harmony with one another. And it says, do not be proud, but be willing to associate with people of low position. How would you apply that to Hebrews 10:25, where it says, let us not give up meeting together? But then it says, let us encourage one another in all the ways you see the day approaching.
Yeah, I was blessed to be able to deal with this question a couple of weeks ago in one of these places I write. The argument that was being made was that Christians should seek to get rid of all class distinction, and it should be a classless society. And what the argument really was Marxist. And what Paul is talking about here and what the gospel does is that it gives us fellowship in spite of the differences, whether they're economic or social or anything else. We have differences in this world. It's just the nature of things. And the gospel blows through those differences with the love of Jesus Christ in spite of those differences. And that's what Paul is talking about here. He says, you don't know who you're going to be in contact with. I mean, look at the people that he preached to. Most of them are slaves. Some of them are slave owners. Some of them were former prostitutes. I mean, it's this mix of people, and the gospel of Jesus Christ brought them together and made something far greater than the sum of the parts.
Yeah. It's interesting because, I see people that are blind like myself or people with other disabilities in the church, like mentally challenged or whatever, slow of learning, that they kind of like shunned or they're not paid attention to most of the time. They kind of treated a little bit differently. They don't even get phone calls, but let's say I'm not blind and I have a job and I have the kind of job that can benefit them, then they're calling me, you know. But they say, mm-hmm. if you're blind or you have some other disability, I notice like they don't call you.
Hmm. Yeah, you know, my thought on this is that you look at James 2, where James is warning about, you know, giving the rich man the best seat in the house, that sort of mentality. What we're invited to is to not recognize any man according to the flesh. There's neither man nor woman. There's neither Jew nor Gentile. We're all one in Christ. And so the guy who's got all the jewelry on and is impressive, he's the multimillionaire, we don't treat him differently. We don't give him the best seat. We do find a place for equality of treatment because love just invades the situation. And our perspective is spiritual. It's not based on earthly wealth or status.
Yeah, it's good to hear from you. I appreciate your call, as always, and hope this has been a help to you. We need to move along here because I got something I want to talk about just a little bit here. And that, of course, is our offer for a copy of our new study series called The New Covenant Journey. It's the final couple of days for this offer, friends, and we hope you'll take advantage of it for a gift of any amount to the ministry. And you can make your gift by calling our operator at 1-800-727-2828. That's 1-800-727-2828. Or by visiting our website at basicgospel.net. basicgospel.net. The New Covenant Journey, yours for gift of any amount. And friends, we can't overemphasize the importance of supporting this ministry that we call Basic Gospel. And of course, those of us who are on the broadcast every day give our thoughts on the importance of undergirding this ministry with your support. Andrew, as a member of the board of directors, what do you attach as the importance of giving to this ministry?
Yeah, you know, Bob, I have been a fan and a follower of this ministry for about two decades, and recently was given the privilege of serving on the board. And, I just think we have a privilege here of sharing the most important message that there is. There isn't a greater message out there. And so, you know, people might be supporting this mission or that mission or this movement or that movement. There might be, this idea or that idea floating around out there. But you always have to come back to, is this a promotion of the new covenant of Jesus Christ? Is the core of what is being presented the new covenant? Is the cross in focus? Is the resurrection in focus? Because there is no greater message. And so my take is, it's a privilege, it's an honor to support Basic Gospel. And, I just want to make sure that folks know who we are and what our identity is as an organization. I mean, we are literally centered on one message, and that truly is the basic gospel and nothing else.
Absolutely. Well, thank you, Andrew. And again, to our listeners, with your gift of any amount to the ministry, you'll get a copy of the New Covenant Journey, our basic gospel study series, a brand new publication, just fresh off the press. And not only is it very, very meaningful in content, but it's just pretty. Just downright pretty, don't you agree, Bob?
Yes, indeed. So take advantage of this and jump on board with us. Support Basic Gospel. We need your help. We need your help now.
Yes, absolutely. Well, guys, a question from Kurt, who writes to us from Detroit. It says, I hear many people call in and ask where we go when we die, and some claim we soul sleep, meaning we don't go to heaven or be in the presence of Jesus at the moment that we die. You guys quote 2 Corinthians 5:8, which is good. I wanted to point out that Paul in Philippians 1:21-23 wanted to leave the body so that he could be present with the Lord. If we do not go immediately to be with Jesus when we die, then Paul, wanting to die so he could be with Jesus, would not make sense. Philippians 1:21, to die is gain. Death would not be a gain if Paul did not know that he would be immediately with Jesus. This is just another argument in favor of being in the presence of Jesus the moment we die. I've never heard you guys use it, but it's just good, and it bolsters 2 Corinthians 5:18. Love your program. That's from Kurt in Detroit. Not necessarily a question, but I think it's good fodder for discussion.
Well, it is good fodder for discussion because that is one of those questions that we wrestle with. What's going to happen to us when we die? And we want some assurance. We want some comfort. And that's, you know, when somebody does die, that's the question that those left behind are asking. What's happened to that guy? You know, we see his body, we see it in the casket, but we know he's not there. So if he's not there, where is he? And the Bible does give some great answers that do comfort us. And these two passages, 2 Corinthians 5 and Philippians 1, really show us that a person who is in the Lord, when they are absent from the body, they are present with him. And that is great news and something that we should proclaim, you know, victoriously. I mean, that's our victory. That's our hope in Christ, isn't it, guys?
Absolutely.
Oh, yeah. I mean, you know, this idea that some guy passes away on planet Earth and then heads to a dark holding tank somewhere, or even worse, the idea of purgatory, that you're halfway to heaven and that you're going to sort of work your way out or something. These things are concoctions from mankind, and they are certainly not the comfort of this New Covenant message.
Yes, indeed. So we need to get this message out. I know we've had a number of questions come into the broadcast about soul sleep, people actually believing that our souls go to sleep and that at some point we will wake up and then we will be raised from the dead, and that's when we'll go to be with the Lord. But there's nowhere in the Word of God that speaks to that. There's no such thing as soul sleep as far as the Bible is concerned. It's an immediate thing. When we are absent from this body, we are present with the Lord. A lot of times we talk about going to heaven, going to a place, but it's going to a person that is really important. We are going to be with the Lord Jesus Christ, just as he came to be with us through his Holy Spirit. So that's the great news of this salvation that we have. When we're raised from the dead spiritually, Jesus Christ comes to be with us. He will never leave us nor forsake us. That is true in death as well. When we're absent from this body, we're going to be with him.
Absolutely.
That's great news.
Yes, it is. That's basic gospel. Well, friends, be sure to check our website for information about our upcoming Bible conference, Stand 2014, Finding Solid Footing in a Broken World. That's coming up June 19th through the 21st, and all the information is available right now at basicgospel.net or at our website, our special website for the particular conference, stand2014.com. That's stand2014.com. It's going to be a great time. Bob and Andrew particularly are going to be speaking. Richard Piper will be there leading music. I'll probably be around somewhere also. We hope you will be too. So go online and check it out. Friends, we're down, as I said, to the final couple of days of our offer of the new Bible study series, The New Covenant Journey, yours for a gift of any amount to Basic Gospel. And when you support Basic Gospel, you're supporting the life-changing, liberating truth of the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. It's constantly changing lives. We all have the opportunity, as Andrew said, to be a part of something very special through our gifts to Basic Gospel. You'll find a donate link at basicgospel.net, or you can call 1-800-727-2828. That's 1-800-727-2828 between 9 and 6 Central Time. And with your gift of any amount to Basic Gospel, you'll receive a copy of the New Covenant Journey Bible Study Series. That, as I said, is a double blessing. Now for Bob and Richard and Andrew and all the ministry team, I'm Bob Davis, inviting you to join us again tomorrow for another live edition of Basic Gospel. We'll see you then. Bye-bye.